I couldn't get a straight line on nothing. And so I just yielded it to the Holy Spirit, and I said, God, I'm yours to command, and I yield this service to you, and whatever you see fit, that's what I want to do, and I trust you. But when she started talking about that, but he says he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. There's a bunch of people on this earth that ain't got a sound mind. They're worried. They're fearful. They're their life is not really good. They're existing. But there's a remnant. There's some of us, and we're part of them, that yields to that, that he's give us power, love, and a sound mind, not to fear anything. And that's not a prideful not fear, you know. That's a godly submission to God. And I was thinking about how that some of us need to wage war against the enemy. I mean, you need to step out and be bold against him. And I mean, tell him what he's going to do. You going to leave me alone. I told him today, well, I was talking to my body and some things, and shingles had broke out, and I began to drive it out. I began to get on it with the Word of God. And how many knows the Bible says that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? That's me. That's you. On your own body. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not everybody. Them that are fearful won't do it. Even if they did speak against it, Satan knows faith. Satan knows authority. But I'm going down. That was yesterday. I'm going down the road, and I said, I drove you out. I was talking to shingles. How many knows we found out through the scriptures fever's here? Right? Jesus rebuked that fever and it left, so it has to hear. So if you got something coming against you, it hears. And it knows authority. And so I'm going down, I said, and I drove you out. I told you to get. I said, and you got. I said, and you will never visit me again. I said, and I will not take a shot. Now, I'll tell y'all here, you know, I don't put my convictions on y'all at all. The Lord tells you, go to doctor. He tells you whatever he tells you to do. But if fear is driving you, you better get on the Word first. You never let fear drive you to make decisions, because fear is not a leading of the Holy Spirit. It's a demonic leading. It's a spirit of fear. It's demonic, you know. I mean, there's demons out here that's roaming. The Bible says that Satan roams to and fro the earth, seeking whom he may devour. It don't say he's devouring everybody. Hey, some of us he can't do nothing with. This church is one of them. And if you feel weak, we got you back, baby. Don't you worry. We lifting you up. We fasting. We praying. We in agreement together. We're a family. Hallelujah. Family sticks together. I don't agree with some of you, but that don't make you not family. Right? Hallelujah. We stick together. We've been knit together. God has knit us together. He's brought us together. And y'all all over Facebook land sitting at home, you need a good Bible-based church. The Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. And it says they will still bear fruit in old age. And I studied and it said they'll be fat and flourishing. Even when I get old, I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get bolder, hallelujah. I tell the devil every now and then, I'm only a teenager, you idiot. Spiritually, man, I'm a young man. You wait till I get older, homie. I've been busting your kingdom wide open ever since I've been born again, other than when I got in fear and other than when I got in unbelief. But when I'm standing and you're standing in faith, you got the devil on the run. I mean, he thinks twice. I mean, he has to study whether he's going to mess with us. Now, he's going to do it because he believes he's going to win this next time, just the next time, and just the next time. Maybe this time will work. And you know what? If you go to letting down on your faith and you go to letting down on your meditation on the Word, your mind stayed on the Lord, he'll come back there and he'll get you with an arrow. He'll plug you one time. He'll get you not to go to church. He'll give you thoughts. He'll call somebody to. I mean, other day, I think it was Monday, we went to work. Somebody shot Travis a bird. I mean, we're going down the road and he didn't yield to it, didn't yield, no, just shot him a bird, you know. We're going to work, you know, and that flesh wants to rise up. I thought if I wasn't born again, I'll get out and show him what a bird is. I'll take that banger off for you, you know, but I'm saved and none of this is going to move me. So when it happened the second time, I said, Satan's got your number today. Well, you need to think about that. Something happens to you first thing in the morning, I don't feel good. Take no thought saying I don't feel good. Don't take that thought and start saying how you feel. Because now you're releasing faith. You're releasing faith. I don't feel good. You're starting to believe it. And then we heard the testimony just a little bit. That's a perfect example. I heard this and it come up in my spirit and I said it, and I felt better. Right? So our faith does affect how we feel. But don't you let the devil tell you, praise God, that you're not going to make it. Y'all young teenagers, if I was y'all, I'd get a hold of that scripture over there and I would say, Lord, I'm your sheep. If you're born again, if you're a teenager and you're born again, you belong to the Lord. You're his sheep. And the Bible says that you hear his voice. You say, well, I'm too young. No, there ain't nowhere in the Bible says you're too young to hear God. I'd get that scripture over there and I'd meditate on it till I heard the voice of God, till I heard the Holy Spirit where it says, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. And I'd meditate on that, but God, and I mean one word from God to y'all young folk or older folk, one word from God can change your life forever. Forever. And if I was y'all younger folk, and your old folk, you're already doing it, that's why I'm saying that, I guess you are. I'd get that scripture over there where it says, Lord, you said you give seed to the sower. And you give bread to the eater, and you multiply the seeds that are sown. And God, I'm going to take you at your word. And I'm going to believe that when everything I need in life as I follow you, because I'm a sower, you multiply the seeds. You give grace. Lord, everything will be added to my life as I go. I mean, get it in there that he is your shepherd. Psalms 23, it says, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what? I read that one time. I was in funerals, actually, is where I heard that. I heard it more in funerals than I heard it in church. That was, I mean, that used to be a traditional scripture, Psalms 23. And I'm reading it one day, and the Lord said, that's not for funerals only. I said, it's not? Well, that could have been a tradition thinking in my mind that that's only. And it says that that makes the word of God of what? None effect. He said, why don't you believe it for you outside the funeral home? I thought, the Lord is my. And then I put, glory to God. It hit me. Johnny, it hit me all of a sudden. I thought, glory to God. He, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. I'm the sheep. You're the shepherd over the sheep. Hallelujah, I'm your sheep, you're my shepherd. You said I shall not want. And then I begin to proclaim, devil, glory to God, did you see that in the Word? God just told me I shall not want, devil. But God, I'd like to everything. I didn't have nothing, Mac. See, you ain't got to have everything together to believe God. Fact of the matter, if you got everything, I mean, there's no reason to believe God for nothing if you got everything together. But don't let fear be your buddy. Well, I'm afraid I don't fit in school. Well, I used to be afraid I didn't fit in with preachers, and I thought, I'm not trying to fit in with preachers. But God, I don't have a clique. My clique is the Holy Spirit and the Word. And anybody's clique's the Holy Spirit and the Word, we'll fit in. We'll be joined together then, but God. Lady come to me one time, she said, I sure do like your preaching, son. On the street, Mac. And I'd got rid of my beard, and dressing like the Lord, I felt the Lord wanted me to, but it kept me a goatee. You know, I didn't really want to shave the beard off. I did it for the Lord. I mean, he had his own reasons. I just didn't question him. I just did it. So I thought, well, Bradley's got a goatee. I'm going to leave it and see how I feel on the inside about that. And so I left it, you know, shaved and everything, and I'm looking, you know, and I'm like, well, God must be okay with this. I don't feel nothing on the inside. How many knows he'll talk to you? You won't hear a voice, but you'll be like, nah, I don't think I like that, you know. Though he said we'd be led forth by peace, right? Isaiah. And so God was good with it, and I was good with it, and the Holy Ghost was good with it. But I go out on the street, and this woman, she's out yonder, over yonder, listening, won't come on the parking lot because I got a goatee, and I didn't know it. So after one service, she said, I like your preaching, son. I said, well, that's good, ma'am. She said, but I'm not going to come and listen to you with that mess all over your face. And I said, well, I looked at her and I said, well, I guess you won't be coming out here. I said, because God likes that. I said, God likes it. God ain't got a problem with it. I said, you're the only one on this parking lot, probably in this whole city, got a problem with that. And God said, it's okay, so you've got a problem with God, ma'am. Well, while I'm saying, I wasn't trying to get on to the lady. You know, the lady ended up coming to the street. She got over that, I guess, and whatever, went to the, I don't know. And she ended up coming out there. But you know what? It tried to move me. Tried to move me to be molded, you know, to the way people. I got to please people and all of that. And, you know, some of them said, well, you know, you need to wait. I announced services starts at 7 o'clock. And I mean, straight up, like you do, 7 o'clock, them services are starting. Because I'm not going to be a liar. Well, had some churches, there are people wanting to come out there on the streets, down on the streets on the other, down there where Dollar General is right now. It was too loud. Big parking lot there. Well, anyways, the pastor come to me and he said, hey, some other churches, you know, man, I mean, but they can't get over here till, you know, about 7:10 or 7:15. He said, you know, can't we wait on them? I said, absolutely not. And I told him, he said, well, they just can't get here. I said, that's not my problem. I said, let them quit their jobs to get here. Take off work, whatever they got to change. You know, we're not going to change what we said we're going to do here. You know. Well, what I'm saying, there was fear of them not coming, you know. And I wasn't trying to be, I mean, I ain't been in the Lord, but I've not been in ministry but about 6 months. But he's teaching me fast, you know, honor me. You know, be a man of your words, you know. And I was a big liar for them. I tell you, we're going to start at 7, we might not even get started. Might not even show up to get started. You know, so the Lord, you know, Lord dealing with those issues in my life, what he was doing was getting me to kill fear of pleasing people. See, you can't be a people pleaser. This ain't in my sermon. I didn't study none of this. It's coming out of my spirit, see. You can't be a people pleaser. You can't be, now I'm not talking about being ugly and rude and all of that to people and, you know, holier than thou and like we got it all together and no problems. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, being humble before the Lord to where none of these things out here in the natural realm move us. I mean, I remember being intimidated when preachers that I knew preached and anointed and all that, and they'd come, and I'd have to do one service, and they'd do another, and how intimidating I felt. Well, I had to grow, Mac. I had to grow on through that, you know. They probably never thought nothing about it, you know. What does it matter who's in the service? Find what God's saying, just like she did at work, you know. I mean, whatever, that stuff going around, well, we just don't partake in it. Well, if you get close, look, this stuff is flying around everywhere out here. I went to put some gas in my truck for Teresa tomorrow. She's got to use my truck tomorrow. And somebody had mashed the thing, clicked it wide open, hung it up. Well, you know what happens if you punch that button? And I mean, when I got it, I seen it, and I was like, oh, no, you don't, devil. Well, it didn't work. Whatever little devil told somebody to do that. No weapons formed against us will prosper. Right? Because usually I just snatch it up, push the button, you know, and I'm beating them wet my truck down, man. It would have. And I thought, nah, devil, you ain't going to do that to me. The Bible says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. If it gets a little tense in my house between me and Teresa, something in there, a wise person, the Bible says a wise man will have few words. Few. So I say, well, I'm sitting here a wise man. Used to, I'd get up and help tear the house down. Let's just tear it down. But God, we both here, we alive, and, you know, and all that stuff. Well, the Bible says Paul said, when I was a child, I spake like one. I got in them little fights and them little let my temper go and, you know, cuss you out and shoot you a bird and repent later. He said, but when I become a man, I put away those childish things. It's childish for me to get up in my house and just argue and fight with my wife all day long. It's childish for me to go to bed at night asleep angry at somebody, mad. The Bible says be angry and don't sin. So I use the quietus on Satan. What's he going to do with you? Did you hear me? Somebody saying something? She's fixing to pop something off. And sometimes we do. But the Bible says a wise man has few words. When that happens, the best thing is just be quiet. Or get up and pray in tongues or something. That really gets the devil stirred up. Get up and laugh. Devil! I ain't got time for you, devil. Getting some of that laughing stuff on me. Whew, I felt that in there, though. And I'm not a funny guy, man. I'm just not. I'm a very serious guy. But that anointing refreshes you on the inside. It refreshes you on the inside. Me and Matt talking, and I told him, I said, yeah, midweek service always been like going in midweek and getting some gas, like in your car in the middle of the week. Well, you're out here in the world, you're working, and you got people, and you got spirits all around you all the time. I mean, you got all that stuff going on, and you just come on in the house of the Lord, and here's the anointing. And the Bible says in Isaiah that the anointing destroys yokes. It's the yoke destroying burden lifting power. And you've got it on you all the time individually. If you abide in Him. If you abide in Him and His words abide in you. See, we can't turn loose of that word out there. No, I mean, I was just thinking about it the other day. I was thinking, I've heard people tell me, well, I just don't know what the will of God is, what's going to happen. And I'll say, I do if you'll believe God. I know. What? I said, I know what God's word says. What? Romans 8:28. For I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. You don't have to understand. You just believe that God will work that to your good, and that is the will of God. You're going to hear it out there that, you know, well, I don't understand. I heard it not too long ago. You know, somebody said, well, God allowed this sickness. You know, I don't really know why, but I'm sure I'll learn something through it. Well, what if you die? Without learning anything. Well, Satan trying to convince them, you know. I done a sermon here a while back, our part. How many knows we have a part? Jesus done went to the cross. He was crucified. The Bible said, it says that it was finished. He was buried. He was raised. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He beat fear. He conquered fear. He conquered everything that me and you will face. He conquered sickness on his body. He took upon the sin of the world that we could be sinned free through him. And our part is 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, fight the good fight. But you know what? There's not going to be a very good fight if you ain't got no faith in you. If you let go of the word and you just, you know, having your mind on carnal things all the time will deplete you of faith. I'm not talking about bad stuff. I'm talking about just wrapped up in things, wrapped up in work, wrapped up in all that we have to do, and not acknowledging God, not relying on Him for strength. I say it all the time. Especially the older I get, I go in and I sit down with 55 and 56, you know, and listen at them over there, and they're telling their stuff. It took me a pot and a half of coffee to get my joints weak and loosened up. I have to sit on the bed for about 15 minutes on the edge. I'm talking about my age, man. I have to sit on the bed, you know, and get let my joints get to kicking and all that stuff, you know, and hearing all that. And I usually get up, eat or whatever I'm doing. I get up and I walk out and I'll declare, not mine. That's not my evidence, Lord. They're experiencing what they're experiencing, but bless God, your word says that long satisfied life will you give me and show me your salvation. Not long, weak, crippled up life. Now, I'm not downing people, but what I'm saying is you got these sayings out there that they're experiencing and they don't really know there is some power that can be added to their life to change their mortal bodies, to quicken their mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in us. Them that don't have it, they don't have that. They don't read the Bible. Lost people ain't sitting around. They're listening to CNN. That's one of the most demonic anointed stations I know of. Fox is getting that way. They just booted Carlson. You know why? That dude don't back down none of that junk. But that's okay. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed, the word, time, and harvest. Hallelujah. Everything that lies in me through Jesus, I'm going to lead this church in victory in our finances, in our health, in our marriages, in our teenage lives, in our young lives, our grandkids. Black God, this word works. Jesus is Lord, and He's still alive, and He is the anointed one that lives on the inside of me and you. Glory to God. It says, greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. It says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, He'll also quicken our mortal bodies. But see, we got to learn not to live in the culture. Let the culture mold us. You know, the schools tried to teach Travis that bam, and there he was. But we had already took the Bible and put it in him, Mac, before he started in this secular school system. Bless God, we put it in him that you're created in the image and likeness of God. We put it in him. And when he got to school, they couldn't take it out. He knew that he is created in the image and likeness of God. They could have tried to convince him that he's a girl, but it wouldn't have worked. Whew, he don't want to be a girl. I've never wanted to be a girl. It'd have to be demonic. Dude. Demons are involved in that stuff. And I mean, it's like, you know, the culture is pushing harder and harder and harder to mold the world to itself. But it's demonic spirits behind it. And it puts pressure on me and you, not against them. We're not against, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, you got to be balanced. You got to be balanced out. And the only way you're going to do that is get that Bible. Find out what that Bible says. Meditate on that word. He told Joshua over there in Joshua 1, fixing to lead millions of people to the promised land. He told him, he said, meditate on the word day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. I have to meditate on the word myself after being in the Lord nearly 30 years. I have to keep my mind stayed on the Lord because this culture tries to draw me in. I don't care how long you've been in it. See, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Now, you could have heard something 8 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, got revelation, praise God, but how many knows you've got to stir that up? You can lose the revelation that you have and lay it down. I mean, you can start out believing God, I'm going to have a prosperous life. I'm bound and determined to be prosperous. Spirit, soul, and body. I'm bound and determined. Why? That word says, I would that you be whole, spirit, soul, and body. It's the will of God. Now, I'm not all the way there. I'm working on it. But I'm bound and determined. I will not be defeated. I'm going to yield to victory. I'm going to yield. I'm going to surrender to victory. Surrender to the Word. I'm not going to surrender my body to old age. Now, I have to combat it every now and then. It was pretty encouraging. I was sitting there listening to Creflo Dollar. And he is talking, shingles had hit him. He kept on flying preaching, Mac. He was talking about how God's grace was sufficient. See, there's always different chapters of our life. There's different seasons that we go through. There's seasons we have to wait on God. That means He ain't doing nothing. He's doing something, but He's just not manifesting. So we just got to wait. How long do we wait? As long as it takes. Just as long as it takes. Well, I'm getting tired of waiting. You're ending your faith. You're going to walk off and God's going to be out here going this way and you're going that way now. See, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the realization of your healing. Faith is the realization of your prosperity. Faith is the realization of your body being healed. Faith is, I have drove out arthritis. See, the Lord told me one time, He said, now my mom had rheumatoid arthritis, and I mean, you know, when it rained, it's going to rain. How do you know, Mom? I feel it in my bones. I'm like, what? I got saved, and the Lord said, did you know that what the doctors puts on people has a name, and the Bible says everything's His name, has about the name of Jesus? And I said, oh, yeah, I see that, Lord, I see it. He said, so if it's ever got a name, put it under you. Put it under your feet. Apply the blood of Jesus. Rebuke it. Drive it out. You know, I was going down the road one time, the devil trying to torment me about Teresa. He tormented me about Teresa. I mean, she's a good-looking woman. Look at her. She's always been beautiful to me. I mean, just gorgeous. You know, that's why I didn't want to wear no makeup. It made her really a knockout. You know? It made that fear even worse, Johnny. After I got saved, though, I'm like, come on, baby, put something on, you know. But I'm going down the road one time, and I'm a young Christian, you know, and I'm being tormented, and I don't like it. You know, I don't like being tormented like that. Fear has torment, the Bible says. But the Bible says perfected love casteth out fear, you know. But fear has torment. And so I'm going down the road, you know, and I go about 4 or 5 miles, and it's just like flooding my mind. I knew it was the devil. So I just whooped off, slammed on the brakes, slid down the road. Cars, they get clean over another line. I'm not even paying no attention. But God, I thought he's went far as he's going in my truck. And I jumped out, and they stopped. They're looking to see what's going on, man. They think somebody's over, we fixing to fight, me and somebody. I run around there. I'm not even aware, really, until I shut the door and looked, and everybody kind of, they're looking, knees and on, you know. I opened that door and I said, devil, get out. I said, get out of my truck right now. I'm submitted to God and I resist you and I command you to get out. He got out, Johnny. But God, I shut that door and I had the rest of the day peaceful without him in my truck. I put him out on the side of the road. Bible says he has to flee. That's right, scriptural, see. I knew that scripture. I knew that I could command him. Jesus commanded him to come out. Paul commanded him to come out. There's a woman followed Paul for 3 days. Oh, he's the man of God, whatever. He got tired of that devil. He turned around and cast the devil out of her. Told it to come out. Come out of her in the name of God. I don't know why he let it go 3 days. I've wondered about it, but really ain't never pondered to see if the Lord showed me why he waited 3 days. I guess he was having mercy. I don't know. Some of us put up with him. You can be a Christian and put up with him. Have thoughts in your head that you're no good. Thoughts in your head that you know, Travis, one time he got up early, teenage years, and that everybody said, well, you know, they get in that rebellion in their teenage years. I said, mine won't. I said, it's not going to work on him. No weapon formed against him will prosper. That rebellion's not of God, and he's not going to fall prey. And I'd say that out loud, you know, every time I'd combat it. Instead of believing it's going to happen, well, he'd come one time, you know, going to move out to Mama and blah, blah, blah. You know, he didn't like going to bed at 9 or 30 or 10, you know. Didn't like rules, you know, and everything. So I'm praying and everything, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, go tell him, you know, go tell him that he's already free and Satan's trying to bind him up. Tell him he's already free. Well, don't you know the Bible says, I believe it's in Isaiah 55 over there, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, my ways are much higher than yours. As the heaven, as the rain comes down, the snow waters the earth and bring forth, so shall my word be that goes forth. It will not return to me void, but it'll go and do what I send it out to do. When you speak that God tells you to speak, that's him sending his word out. He needs your voice to get his word. And so I went to Travis and I said, son, I said, you're already free. I said, you can live here long as you want to, you know. You're already free, I said, but Satan's trying to get you to make wrong choices. He's trying to get you bound up. Well, you know what? It works, Andy. When I told him that, things changed. He started changing. I don't know. God did what he said, you know. But y'all young folk at home, don't let that devil play games on your head. You're no good. Nobody loves you. Aubrey come in one time, Papa, I don't think they've got kids. Some kid likes me. I said, it don't matter, baby. Don't let them like you. Look what they're missing out on. Well, I come back with words of faith. I come back with words to let her know you ain't got to be liked by nobody. You want to be likable, but you ain't got to be, well, that's making her sad. Nobody cares. He'll work on y'all teenagers. My parents don't understand nothing. We need some freedom. You need some freedom. I guarantee you, if you got out work 12 hours a day, you and your parents ain't going to be a problem anymore. But God, you'll be ready to go home and take you a shower and hope mama, and if mama didn't cook, you won't gripe. You'll just fix you a tomato sandwich or whatever you like, and you'll just go on to bed and get ready for 5 o'clock in the morning. While I was out 8, 9 years old with a push morgue pushing down all the way near to the Cleveland school with a little pint of gas, and I'm after school, black God, I'm pushing push mower down the road, and I stop at every house. Hey, need your yard mowed? How much? $1.50? Sure, mow it. $1.50, man. I need a bush hog in some of them. I'm out there making money, though, but you know what? Come nighttime, Daddy wouldn't give us no money much. He didn't have none, I don't guess. So if we wanted gas and stuff like that, you know, we had to go out and work for it. I don't really remember getting rebellious at home. I had a job. I remember falling in love with Teresa, and I'm never at home. I'm at her house. Dar said, amen. And here we are 38 years later, and let me tell you, you need an anointing to be married. Both ways, man or woman, you need an anointing. You need to be under that umbrella of God. You need to have God involved in everything, seeking Him about everything. Teresa seeks Him about what I wear. That's a little overboard to me. He honors that. I mean, I'm wearing what the Lord said tonight. I don't even have to wonder anymore. She's been doing it for 25 years. I've seen her come in there putting on an earring or something and say, oh, great. Back in there, and I'm like, where are you going? I got to change clothes. I'm like, you was putting an earring in. Well, I just don't feel like the Lord wants me to wear this tonight. And I'm like, well, you look fine to me, man. I wouldn't go through all that trouble. She honored God, though. See, when you walk in with God, it brings an anointing on your life. Praise God. All of this is great stuff. I need to buy me a CD. Let's do it again. See, us older up here, we're not old fogey. We've gained some wisdom from the Lord. We've walked with the Lord. We've kicked some devil's butt off of you. We've kept him from wrecking your life. We've kept him under our feet. We've kept our faith up on the word for you and on you and to help you. And you might not even realize it, but that's okay. The Lord wants you to understand that the parents and grandparents, they're put over you. They're anointed of the Lord. Just like me today, Teresa, she'll remind me every now and then. If you get down and move, I'll go to your pastor and I'll tell him. And I'll be like, he'll come get your license and take them away from you. I made him promise, Mac. When I come into this church, I'm not an island to myself. I have authority over me. I want authority. I wish my parents was here to be over me. I would be different. I want to be submitted. Why? Because they're anointed of the Lord. Your parents and your grandparents, they're anointed of the Lord for your good. Now, Travis, sometimes he still don't like what I do, especially if I'm driving his vehicle. I drove his truck one time, pulled a pontoon, jackknifed his tailgate, and bent it. Looks like he backed into a power line pole. So he don't much really like for me to drive his stuff, you know. He'll turn me loose with it, but praise the Lord. But he still loves me. Even though I did that, if I said, son, I need your truck, you know, he'd say, yeah, go, Dad. Just keys are in. He tells me keys are in my motorcycles and all of that. Praise. My daddy never told me that stuff. I'd have to go steal his keys. I mean, you go, Dad, I mean, I'm in there for hours. Please, Dad, I want to go see Teresa, Dad. Please, can I drive your truck? And He like, boy, I got a half tank gas in there. You got any money? But no, I'll loan me $5 and I'll put some gas in it. Take me 3 hours to get a car, Mac. So y'all young folk, know that it's the Lord that has authority over you. And you know, the Bible says no chastening seemed to be pleasant. Chastisement's not good, in other words. I don't like it when God gets on me. But I know that He loves me. I know that when Teresa brings something that maybe I'm getting out of line or something like that and she brings it, it's not because she likes to do that. She used to, but now it's different. It's because she loves me, Matt. She has everything. And sometimes for all of us, when we're in life and we're going forward, we're in it, somebody standing outside can see something we don't. They're not inside looking out. They're outside looking and they see things. For instance, the giveaway one Saturday, and on the way down here, the Lord spoke to me and He said, I don't want you down there working. today. He said, I want you to stand up there and watch. He said, I want you to watch. And I thought, man, I wonder if this is Lord or not, you know. I don't want me to work. I was toting boxes at that time, like y'all do. So I stood up there, and I'm watching stuff, and I'm seeing stuff that I'm fixing change. I didn't know all this was going on. I didn't know all of this was going on. Wasn't real bad stuff, just things that needed changing. And I was down in there, and I couldn't see it. So sometimes you just need to back up, you know, and you need to look at things and say, hey, man, bless God, what's going on here? Lord, what do you want? The Bible says acknowledge him in all of our ways and he'll direct us, right? Y'all teenagers, I'd be seeking the Lord. What's your will for my life, Lord? Well, he might want me to do ministry. If he does, that'll be the best thing you ever done in your life. That's where your destiny will lie. That's where your provision will come. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things. All the things that you desire. I mean, y'all don't desire. You young folk don't desire what we desire. They want the latest clothes and the latest. I could care less about all that. I want victory. Now, I want nice clothes and I'm going to have them, but black God, when it comes between that and victory, I'm getting victory. I'd rather have some victory. I'd rather put the kingdom first. See, because God knows the plans that he has for us. Jeremiah 29:11. See, the plans that God has for this church is just beginning. I mean, he's getting the pillars. I mean, getting us established, because when they come out of the world, they're going to be all messed up. They're going to be all warped up, dealing with one now with us. He thinks he's an atheist, but he's not. He's been told and read the Bible without God himself and got himself warped up, and he believes God. He believes God is a big, mean God, the ground opening up, swallowing, and whatever he thinks. And then one day I'm going down the road and it just sprung up on the inside of me. Me and Travis were talking. And I said, no matter what he's heard about Jesus, he's a good God. Well, why I'm saying that is because I've got somebody sitting in my back seat that is going to hell, that can't see a good, good God like we see him. Like we experience him. And I have an opportunity not to force Jesus down his throat, but to speak what God is. God is a good God. The Bible says that all good things come from the Lord. And I told Travis, I said, if I was a betting man, I would bet you, and I'm not, you know, a week's pay or whatever, I told him. I said, I will have him in church. I'm determined. Not to beat it in him. So every now and then I'll throw it out there. I'll go, yeah, we get old Keith up there on the praise team with that bandana on. Let your hair grow out long and just, we get you up there singing. He's like, no. I'm closer, Mac. I'm getting closer to him. I'm showing him how real people serve Jesus. They're not mean and rude. They handle things godly. They think godly. They act godly. Not even trying to. It's just the way we are. We programmed ourselves to honor God. And we work on it all the time. So I want to encourage you tonight, young and old, we're in the edge of the move of God. I believe it, that we have not seen. We're going to have revival. I've been fasting for 2 or 3 days. And I told the Lord today, and I felt it in here. I said, oh God, I said, thank you, Lord, for revival in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right now for revival at our church, Lord. Breaking out into Holy Spirit and the moves of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the gifts break out in that place by your Spirit and confound a lot of us, man. Just shake our world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for revival in our homes, Lord. Thank you for revival in our schools. I was feeling it in here. And it's like God was saying, well, I've been getting y'all ready. I've been getting you ready. Well, we was down at Mother's, Teresa's mom's. We kind of celebrated Mother's Day with her Sunday, and I heard her, just heard her talking. I believe God's getting us ready. I believe He's been getting us ready, and blah, 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 you know. And she was the most negative person that I ever met on this planet. I'm telling you, that woman was, I mean, you could say, well, the sun's coming out. Yeah, but it's going to rain. Got a half a glass of water left. No, it's nearly empty. Couldn't see a half full glass. And now here she is. I believe God's getting us ready. I told Teresa, I said, I see her stronger than I've ever seen her in my whole life. You want to know why? Because God's been bringing and releasing the anointing on His Word. And we've been getting it. And we've been receiving it. We've been accepting it. We've been embracing it. We've been not turning loose of it. We've been keeping it. We've been guarding our hearts where the issues of life flow out. We've been doing things. We've been listening to sermons. We've been meditating more on His Word. As a body, this body is closer than it's ever been. I've never seen this body so close. Out of 21 years. Yeah. Blake got the law called on him this evening. I looked back there, well, one of them come through there and said, cops are out here. I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. And I walked out there, you know. I said, yeah. And he said, one of your neighbors called the law. He said there was a guy down there in your lower building down there. He said he had shorts on, cowboy boots, and a purple shirt. And I pointed. I said, there he is right there. I said, there he is right there. I said, I seen him when I was coming down the road, you know, and I said, that's him. And then he said, well, I'm just making sure everything's good. I said, yeah. I said, you know, I said, you could. I said, you could take them both to jail. I said, they ain't never been. I said, you could. He looked around and smiled. Too much paperwork, I guess. Come in and told Monty, like, oh, what'd you do, boy? Hey, when we got kids, Monty, we ain't never shocked. ain't no shocking time. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? See, the Lord has been building us up, getting us ready for people. These people going to leave churches where the truth ain't being preached. They're going to get hungry on the inside for truth and don't even know it. They're going to get stirred on the inside by the Spirit of God. Hopefully all the churches will change if any of them is not preaching the truth. I mean, you go preach behind the pulpit. I'm not talking about just straight out false doctrine. They can go say, yeah, you never know what God might do. God give it. If a preacher says that behind the pulpit, that is against the Bible. God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's not a doctrine in the Bible. That's what Job said. Or that you never know what God's going to do. You can't preach that stuff. I can't preach that to y'all. I do know what God's going to do. He's going to bless you. He's going to heal you. He's going to raise you up. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to rebuke Satan for you. He's going to bring you from glory to glory. Different levels of faith. That's what He's going to do. And He's not a God that is, you hear it out there, God works in mysterious ways. Nope, that's not a doctrine. That comes from a church that don't understand the Bible. Church preached that. Now, I do agree that God works in ways that I have not thought of. But that don't make Him mysterious. That makes Him an awesome God. And so if I tell anybody I change that doctrine, I say, He is an awesome God. And you do know what He's going to do. Somebody told me one time, how do you know what He's going to do? I said, ain't you got a Bible? Yeah. I said, go back to Genesis and start in there. And watch what he did to the children of Israel all the way down to Jesus. I said, then he brought us in him through Jesus. I said, then read Revelation, all the way to Revelation. I said, you will begin to see the ways of God, the patterns of God's got patterns. He said, if you seek me, find me. He said, if you knock, the door will be open. He said, ask and you will receive. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. He says, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom. That whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, we can loose healing here. I tell people sometimes, I tell them, you know, they'll hit me up overseas and stuff, you know, wanting to send them money or whatever. Nothing wrong with that if God does it. We have missions sometimes and we work that. And I told them, I said, well, why don't you send us a seed? I said, we are good ground up in here. That's strange to them. Well, don't the Bible say to them, yield and it shall be given, don't it? It don't just say that over here. I learned that from a missionary. I went to Mexico in 1996. God supernaturally worked an evangelist. I went on a 3-day fast, and I'm going to close with this. I was asking the Lord, who is to come preach while I'm gone? And I'm before the Lord. I fasted 3 days. And on the third day, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, Kevin Mullins. I said, glory to God. So I went, you know, found his number, and he was evangelizing at that time. And I called him. Of course, he was out on the field. His wife answered the phone, and there wasn't cell phones back then. His wife answered the phone, hey, Brother Scotty. We knew him from Faith Restoration. Hadn't seen him in a long time. And I said, I've got to go to Mexico. I said, and the Lord spoke to me and said that Kevin's preaching. He wanted me to get Kevin to come and preach while I'm gone, minister while I'm gone. She went in there to his calendar and she said, oh, well, that's impossible. She said, he is plumb booked up. I mean booked up. There's just no way that can happen. And I said, well, okay. Well, all right. Well, thank you. And I was telling somebody, well, anyhow, getting closer and closer and closer, Mac. And now pressure to make a decision's on me. Because I done got my passports and I'm out of here. I'm flying out of here, man. You know, I told the Lord, I said, you said. See, when you find the will of God through fasting and praying, whatever it is, your finances, whatever it is, no matter what it is. I said, no, Lord, I will not ask anybody else. You said Kevin is coming here to preach, and I believe I receive it. He's coming. I would not change. Bless God. And Teresa got a phone call, and guess who it was? It was Kevin Mullen's wife. You're not going to believe this. They never, hardly anybody cancel. They cancel the very time that you need him, so he's available. He comes in here and preaches, and you know what he said we are? Gatekeepers. You know, now, Mac, we go up work on the farm a little bit, don't we?
Yeah.
We can relate to that.
Yeah.
Go over there, man, and we
catch a cow.
Bring that cow up, and we got to open the gate, ain't we?
To get it. Lock it back, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to shut Satan out.
Lock it back, that can be a big problem.
Yeah. So we got a lot, we're gatekeepers. We open the gate and let people into the presence of the Lord. And we do shut the devil out and lock him out. So get ready. You're going to lose your parking spot. I know only people that work back here park back here, but they follow y'all around there. They think that's where they're supposed to park. Come in one time, Zach's back down. I thought, oh, man, he got Johnny's parking spot, man. This is not good. I've seen Christians quit church over the stuff. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Mac, That's what I'm talking about. They're going to lose their parking spot. They're going to come in, they're going to be sitting where you see it.
They should have known.
Yeah. Knowing Mac, they should have known. Praise God. So we're gatekeepers. You're gatekeepers. So get ready. Get prayed up. Fasting. Be fasting. Don't just be caught up in your little world and what's going on. Go a little deeper on into the bigger picture of things. Go on into the things of God where your stuff won't be an issue anymore. It just won't be an issue because God's taking care of all the issues for you. He's working them out. This job that's holding $10,000 of my money, I told y'all a little bit about it. They sent the sections yesterday. They were supposed to be aluminum, color aluminum. They were white. $2,500 worth of sections that were wrong. And so Travis, he says, "Well, why don't you just call? Let's call him, in the pressure." I told him, I said, "I don't want to call him. I don't even want to call him. This is not good." He said, "Well, you know." And I said, "Yeah, I'll just call him. Look, God." So called him up. I called him up. He said, first thing he said to me, "I hope you got good news." I said, "I got half good, half bad." "Well, what is it?" I said, "I got the sections, but they're white." I said, "I'm fixing to ship them back." He says, "It's going to be about three more weeks, three, four." "Yeah, it's going to be about three, four more weeks." He said, "Well," I said, he said, "Well, let me just call the customer." I said, "Yeah, just call the customer." He called the customer. Customer said, "Shoot, yeah, bring them on. I'm tired of waiting." Hung up, we unloaded and everything. Travis said, "That's favor, Dad. That's what you're talking about, prosperity right there." He said, "That's what you're talking about. That's favor. That happened. He took those. They're not even going to match his other doors, Mac, in his shop. But he's going to go ahead and take them. That's favor. See, it's on you. It's on me. Because we honor God, He works all things together for our good. We don't have to beg Him to. All we have to do is just stay submitted to Him. Somebody coughs, just go, "Pff, devil, shut up." Thank you for teaching us that. That was good stuff. And bringing up how that's fear. I don't fear none of it. I told Shingles, "You ain't never going to visit me again." So I would advise you just go ahead and talk to Shingles. Don't listen to 6 or 13 or whatever, because they say, "Hey, over 50, you know, it's just lying in you. It's going to come alive. Better come get your vaccine. Get shot up. 94% chance you won't get it. Where's the rest of the chances?" Right? But I got something that will shield you from it. God does. God's Word. He said, taking the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts. Devil, I preached about the sickness one time, and this guy said, "Well, you didn't think sickness is of the devil, do you?" I said, "Well, where do you think it come from?" I said, "Where do you think it come from?" "Well, how can you prove it's from the devil?" I said, John 10:10. I said, John 10:10 says that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, "That don't say nothing about sickness." I said, "What sickness do? Steals, kills, destroys, ruins your joy, takes your finances, man, takes your life." I said, "All good things come from the Lord." I said, "There's nothing good about sickness, nothing." I said, "So?" He said, "Wow, I've never seen that." I said, "I know it." I said, "Now you do. Just don't accept none of it no more." Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord. Lord, we...